It's been just over 3 years since she passed away, and I still think about her every day. I feel like she influences my life in every moment. Like, who she was to me is what I want to be to the people in my life. So she was the best. She really was.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Here Love with Melinda Estabrooks.
Season 11,
episode number 27.
Well, welcome to See Here Love, and our theme today is the long goodbye. Adult children taking care of their aging parents. And did you know about 63 million Americans nationwide are family caregivers to some aging parent or adult with chronic conditions? And here in Canada, around 1 in 4 adults serve as family caregivers at some point in their lives. And in 2020, there were approximately 350,000 unpaid care partners in Canada, providing significant time and support to people living with dementia, including Alzheimer's. And the projections, by 2050, 1 million. And joining me today is Shelley Calcagno, author of The Longest Goodbye, a story of her hopeful journey with her mother through Alzheimer's. She's also a writer, a blogger, producer, and content creator. Welcome, Shelley.
Hi, Melinda. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you for coming. You know, this is really personal, and I'm already going to start getting emotional because so many of my friends are dealing with and managing end of life with their aging parents, Parkinson's, dementia, Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And I know you have had a firsthand connection with this. So it was with your mother. Yes. Tell me about her before Alzheimer's.
Oh, well, I really had the most amazing mom. She was my biggest cheerleader, my biggest support. It's been just over 3 years since she passed away, and I still think about her every day. I feel like she influences my life in every moment. Like, who she was to me is what I want to be to the people in my life. So she was the best. She really was. Yeah.
And Shelley, in that, what were the first signs that you saw that were like, there might be something that's not like in her normal behavior? Yeah.
Well, in our family, we have a history of Alzheimer's on my mother's side. Okay. So we were always very aware of that in our family. But it was one day, my brothers and I, we were at the family cottage. We were just doing our normal spring cleanup. And my brother just noticed that my mom was just starting to lose some of her words. She was trying to say dandelions, and she couldn't come up with the words. So she was calling them yellow flowers. And that's the title of the first chapter in my book, because that was like the start of our journey when we just realized that something was off. And then from there, she would start to forget things like her bank card or her bank, you know, her number or where she parked. So it started in really small ways. But I think as well, because of our experience within our family, we just knew that something wasn't right.
Shelley, how long was the journey? Like from sort of that yellow flower to when she got worse and then when she passed away. How long was that journey with her and your family?
It was, I think in total, about 13 years.
Wow.
So she passed away just a couple weeks before my book came out. So I remember when I was writing the book, I just didn't know when to end. Like, how do you end a book like that? Like, because it was just such an ongoing journey. It was a long season that we walked with her. At the end, I feel like that my book was like a gift to me, actually. After she passed away, I just felt like I had been able to just chronicle just our journey, the highs and the lows and the special moments and the gifts that were in there. So it was just a real almost comfort to me that I had written all those things down like
Yeah. Tell me more about Alzheimer's. I don't really know. I'm not familiar. What does that look like in the scope of it? And then from there, how did you process when here was your mom and there were these changes?
Yeah, so Alzheimer's is a, disease that affects the brain. Dementia is the overarching. Mm-hmm. And there's different types of Alzheimer's. There's Lewy body dementia. There's early onset Alzheimer's. So there's different types of Alzheimer's. But it's really when your brain starts to forget things and you start to lose your memories, then you start to lose your cognitive function, then you start to lose your physical function as well because it's all so connected. So it's just that journey of, there's the medical definition of that, but then there's the real life part of that when it's really, as a person in your family watching someone you love, it's, you're just kind of losing them. You feel like you're losing them piece by piece. And it is a long goodbye because you'll go through a season where there'll be one change. Then things will kind of, normalize for a while, and then there'll be another change. Mm. So it just felt like at every season and stage, we're just saying goodbye to a different thing, like along the whole process. So,
and for your family, mm-hmm. how did you talk about it? Mm-hmm. How did you manage the emotions around it? Because I'm sure with families, it's different ways mm-hmm. children, partners and spouses handle the yes. change in a person.
Yes, I remember at the very beginning, we didn't even want to talk about it at yeah. all. I feel like it was like this thing we didn't even want to say out loud because then it would feel like it was real. And I'm the oldest daughter, so it's that caring for your family, taking care of everyone is kind of like, inside of me, what I like to do. But it was just really hard just to get those conversations going. We didn't want to have them. Like I remember my brothers and I, like we don't want to go to our dad and talk about this. It's just too hard. Like it just felt too hard. But it's something that was so important that we needed to do. Mm-hmm. And people always ask me, what should you do? And it's like, you need to talk about it and you need to put in a plan early. It's hard because you don't want to look down the road and see what's going to happen mm-hmm. at the end. But in the meantime, you just have to put in a plan in place how you're going to walk through this journey.
And Shelley, when we talk about you, like mm-hmm. personally how you're feeling, because there's grief and probably mm-hmm. anger and sadness. It's, in your book and in your writing, it's like celebrating mm-hmm. life, but also letting go. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? How did you do that?
That's such a hard thing to do. Yeah. I made the decision really early on that I had the best mom ever. And so I wanted to make sure that I did not check out of this journey. Yep. I wanted to make sure that I was present and I wanted to make sure that I could look back and have no regrets. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to love her the same way that she's loved me my whole life. I'm going to keep loving her that way. So I'm going to celebrate her birthday. We're going to celebrate Christmas. We're going to do all the things.
Even when she's not remembering.
We're going to do all the things. Even when she was in long-term care, I went in and I put roses all over her wall and I brought her a Christmas. Like, I just wanted her to be celebrated because that's what she did for us. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that that was easy. It doesn't mean that I didn't leave there crying the whole way home, but I just wanted to have that joy still. I wanted her to feel joy even if she couldn't express it. Yeah. And I just wanted to still have that joy with her as long as I could. So
I think that's beautiful because you could be like, well, she won't remember. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know. But that is so honoring for your mother. So the celebrating of her life, because she deserves to be celebrated, mm-hmm. but in the same time, letting go. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? How do you do that?
That's so hard. I think I'm still letting go, to be honest.
I think you're going to let go. those emotions and feelings, I think, for a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, there's still days. So much has happened in our lives, even in 3 years since she passed away. And so often I'll just say to myself, it's not fair that I don't have my mom here right now. I wish she was still here. And I said to my daughter the other day, grandma would just be so happy right now, just seeing everything that's happening in our family. So it's just this letting go that is so hard. I think I'm always going to feel that way. Mm-hmm. People talk about, people walk through grief in different ways, and I've just tried to hold on to the things of my mom that I want to carry on through my own family and through my own life. And so that's kind of like how I hold on to that and how I walk through my grief. I just, I look at her example and her legacy. I care a lot about legacy, and that's because of her and the life that she led. So that's how I get through. That's how I focus on.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, to focus on that, because you could focus on the resentment mm-hmm. or how this changes your life and what the drama is ensuing in the family. Mm-hmm. But I think what I'm hearing is just like the celebration and honoring. Mm-hmm. But it was probably really hard and exhausting and mm-hmm. long days.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. In our story, my dad was the primary caregiver. So, you know, I was there in and out. But his, you know, his story is completely different from mine. But he was just incredible. You know, but a lot of what I did was try to support him. I tried to, like, you know, how can he get a break? How can he get a rest? How can he, mm-hmm. you know, how do I support him in this journey? So there's just so many, like, different parts of the journey that until you walk through it, you just don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know, you know, helping him with his emotions and his, you know, his health, and then, you know, helping with her health, and then the whole family, how are we all managing the grief? Like, it's just so complex.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, you know, at the very beginning, I felt so lonely in the journey. But then I started to blog and share some things, and I realized that other people we're going through it too. And I think it's so important when you walk through something like this to share your story, mm-hmm. because until you do, you don't know that how your story can help other people, how you can support them and what they're walking through too. So it wasn't always easy. I'm so grateful that, you know, I came from a loving home with loving parents. And I had such a good relationship. And I know for some people that's hard.
Yeah.
But again, I just, for me, looking back with no regrets, I think is so important. And if you can bring that healing into your life and your relationships while you can, I just think that's really something that honors a person's life.
It's beautiful. And you told me earlier that there's 700,000 mm-hmm. people with Alzheimer's?
Yes, in Canada.
In Canada.
Over 700,000.
Over 700,000.
Yeah.
And earlier I said 350,000 like unpaid mm-hmm. care partners mm-hmm. that are, so you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
We're not alone. I think, thank you for doing the blog and writing the book, because it's helping people, you know, say it actually validates the emotion, mm-hmm. the feeling,
yeah.
and holding, like we say, this grief and joy
yeah.
in one hand yeah. together.
Yeah.
Shelley, thank you. You're staying put because we're going to bring our See Her Love panel of Sunite Lichmore, registered psychotherapist and national speaker, and Joanna LaFleur, executive director of Word Made Digital and national speaker, and of course, Shelley Calcagno. Welcome back. Well, that was tender. I've got my Kleenex in my hand because I was just crying. And, you know, I think thinking of my friends and you and Joanna and so many people mm-hmm. that have gone through and are going through the same journey that you have. So thank you for sharing that. And I know that Sunite and Joanna were listening in to our conversation. And Sunite, I know that you have some questions or thoughts for Shelley to start off.
Yeah. When we talk about this conversation, anticipatory grief is what comes to mind, and that's exactly what you experience. And I wanted to share the definition of anticipatory grief, which is when we watch someone we love decline, knowing it's coming, but we don't know when. And so what happens is that you experience grief over and over and over again, and that can result in feeling exhausted. That can result in feeling sadness, anger, these really big emotions that sometimes other people don't understand because they're thinking the person is still here. Mm-hmm. They haven't passed yet. Mm-hmm. And so anticipatory grief could be really challenging. Mm-hmm. And I think my question for you is, how did your community show up when you were experiencing that anticipatory grief?
Mm-hmm. You're so right, because it's like almost like saying goodbye 1,000 times.
Exactly.
I know for myself, early on in the journey, I anticipated the grief. Mm-hmm. And I started seeing a counselor for a little while,
okay.
just for myself, because, you know, at that stage in my life, I had teenagers. I had, like, there was, you know, you're in the middle of your career. There's so much going on. And I didn't want to just all of a sudden not be able to function.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like for me, that was really important, just to have that support for a season.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I have a great community of friends, and my parents had a great community of friends as well that really surrounded them and helped them on the journey and gave them that support, whether it's, you know, stepping in for breaks mm-hmm. or, you know, so just doing those sorts of things. I think that support is so important. I know the Alzheimer's Society in Canada okay. is incredible, and they have support groups. They mm-hmm. have, you know, people that will come to your home and help you. So I think surrounding yourself
yeah.
by all the resources that you can is so key,
mm-hmm.
And not waiting until you're in crisis,
mm-hmm.
But just like setting those things
in
place.
So you're really like proactive
yeah.
with putting things in place.
Yes, which I think is hard for people, because I know we didn't want to do that at the beginning either. But then we're like, no, we're not going to wait till, you know, mm-hmm. we're in the middle of a situation that we don't know how to handle. So
I'm even hearing like a level of acceptance that you
yeah.
had early on.
Yeah.
That must have been hard.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think for me, I remember trying to not look at the overall big picture all at once. Mm-hmm. And I tried to take things by seasons because I thought if I just think about what the end result of this is going to be, that's just going to swallow me up and I'm not going to be able to function. So what is a season that mom is in now, mm-hmm. and how can I help in this season to get to the next season? Mm-hmm. So breaking it down like that, I mm-hmm. think really helped.
Oh, I love
those
that.
Stages. Yeah.
Thanks yeah. for sharing.
Now, Joanna.
Yeah.
You've experienced some similar journey that Shelley has.
Yeah, my dad had Parkinson's mm-hmm. With dementia. So at first it was just the Parkinson's, mm-hmm. which is the almost obvious way we think of it is shakiness or like a decrease in dexterity and walking ability and all that stuff. But then it became like a mental issue as well. And so it's, as you say, this long goodbye is like a series of goodbyes. Like there's so many moments I can think of along the way in the earlier days where you're surprised by these losses that you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. Like my dad was super handy and I was moving and I'd asked him to take down a light fixture mm-hmm. and he was standing on a ladder and he wasn't able to mm-hmm. do, he was spending a long time. He knew how to do it, but his hands wouldn't do it mm-hmm. anymore. Or washing dishes beside him and after a big family dinner and him being the dryer and him having to give up, frustrated, but having to give up because he couldn't manipulate the dishes to dry them anymore. Mm-hmm. And then later it was, you couldn't talk to him anymore. Mm-hmm. You couldn't ask his advice anymore mm-hmm. because his mind was not with us. Mm-hmm. So I totally resonate with the long grief. Mm-hmm. And I've heard it said, based on what, you know, your question that you asked, this idea of that a lot of people show up at the funeral. And for you, if you've had a long grief or a long goodbye, that's in some ways almost an end of the chapter or a culmination of what you've been dealing with for years. Mm-hmm. And so I've heard it said that, you know, everyone shows up at the funeral to support you, but like, actually, I kind of more needed you these last few years. The funeral is a moment and the death is a moment, but you've been dealing with the death mm-hmm. for years. Mm-hmm. And so that support in advance is probably more important to me mm-hmm. than it would have been in the actual moment of his death.
Right, so how do you support? Like, I'm hearing you and I have friends that are going through this, but how would we practically support through the long goodbye, mm-hmm. what would be helpful for you or would have been helpful for you?
The number one thing is just ask, mm-hmm. like ask about it,
right.
be
mm-hmm.
interested in what I'm going through. You don't have to understand it. So I was going through this in my late 20s to early 30s. Mm-hmm. So usually the people who knew what it was like were in their 50s or 60s.
Okay.
Or people would say, oh yeah, my grandma, my grandpa had that thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, it's not the same when it's your parent compared to your grandparent. But they don't have like a frame of right. reference. But just even asking and being mm-hmm. interested is the number one thing, I think. But I'll never forget, like in the most crisis moments, like those people who showed up with a Tim Hortons coffee or just gestures of showing up. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's so important to talk about what you can do because I think some people, when they're faced with a situation that they don't fully understand, they just kind of mm-hmm. shut down because they don't know how to help. So I think those practical things and like, you know, reaching out, even, you know, sending a text, like I'm praying for you, you know, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily understand what you're going through, but I'm here and I'm thinking of you. Like that's huge when, because it's so isolating when you're a caregiver as well. And you just feel so alone because you're consumed in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So I think anytime anyone reaches out, just with, you know, it doesn't have to be grand gestures. It can just be, you know, mm-hmm. what you said, I care about you and I'm thinking mm-hmm. about you.
Can I ask what you did with your grief? What do you do when you
I'm laughing
go through this?
Because a funny, not funny, I was saying to you as we were listening to you, I leaned over and I said, when I'd leave the long-term care home, I often would go get fast food. And it's just like, I need to eat my feelings.
Yeah.
and then I didn't, you know, I knew I was doing it, but after my dad died, without consciousness, I think I lost 30 pounds after he died because I wasn't eating the fast food.
Right.
I don't know what it was. Yeah. I mean, I just, it was like, I was eating, and that wasn't a good coping mechanism, but it's honest. It's one of the things I did. Mm-hmm. Like, gotta go eat that Big Mac.
Big Mac.
Yeah, because I think Shelley, as you speak, I think of the quote, you know, where there's deep love, like there's deep grief. Mm-hmm. And I hear the deep love that you shared with your mom and the admiration and the influence that she had in your life. But then I also think of those people that had complicated relationships with their parents, and the complicated, challenging emotions that come up when they are forced to be the caregiver, yet there is anger, resentment, memories of what wasn't done. How do we, what would you say to those people? Mm-hmm. And how do we support our friends? Because we don't know if people have good relationships or complicated relationships. Right, and so I think it makes it challenging showing up as well.
That's a good question.
Yeah. I know I always, when I share my story, I'm always aware that there are people that haven't had, you know, the positive family that I've had. And it always goes back, you know, it's so funny. I remember when my mom was in long-term care, I would see so many people there just by themselves who would never have visitors or never have anybody there. And I think it made me so sad because I just thought, you know, obviously there was, I don't know all the stories, but there's people at the end of life care who don't have anyone there. Yeah. And that's so heartbreaking for them. But I also think of their children, their family, it's sad for them too. Like, I just feel like that reconciliation is so important. Even though it's hard, it's not an easy thing, but you know, I would just encourage people again, not to have regrets. That's just, I don't know, maybe that's too simple of a thing to say, but I just feel that, you know, live your life so that you can look back and not wish you had done things different or showed up in different ways.
Yeah, I know, and I agree with you, you know, like, you know, I lost my father, not in the same way, but because there was reconciliation and repair prior to that passing, there was peace. Yeah. And I think as Christians, there is a call to be repairers of this world. Yeah. And so it might not be an easy path. It might not end with a perfect bow. But if there are at least attempts towards reconciliation, I think it goes a long way.
Yeah. What about preparing in the goodbye? So in grief, we ate fast food. Or we blogged and wrote a book. They're equal, Joe. They're equal.
I mean, it's the only thing I did.
I know you did other things.
And
so we're processing grief. But then how do you actually prepare? You know it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. How do you actually prepare yourself that this is goodbye, that there will be that? Can you ever prepare?
Or I think no.
No?
I think you can. I thought I did.
Okay. Yeah.
Like the week I found out that, you know, with these kinds of illnesses, you don't die of Alzheimer's, you die of, you know, related issues. So my dad with Parkinson's dementia, he died of COVID pneumonia.
Okay.
The week we found out that that was going to happen, I was planning, like I was supposed to be having like 25 friends over for a big party. And I was telling them, hey, looks like this is the week my dad is going to die. This has been going on for years. So like, it looks like this is the week my dad's going to die. You all can still come over. Like, I'm not thinking. And everyone else wisely is like, Joanna, we're not doing that.
Right. Yes.
Like this week has now changed. But I thought I was more prepared.
Okay.
Because I knew it was coming. And when it hit me more like a tidal wave than I expected, because I thought I had prepared and I wasn't prepared. I mean, I was, it's you have to experience it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How was that for you?
I mean, I obviously expected it as well. I feel like I got through, you know, I was there when she passed away, and that was such a gift in itself. But the weeks after, I feel like I was kind of a robot, maybe. And then a couple weeks after, when everything had like quieted down, I would go to work, I would come home, I would just wrap up in her quilt on my bed. Every night I laid in my bed wrapped in her quilt. And I just tried to like process everything that had happened. Like, it took me, I just needed that time just to like, to sit. I guess sit in my grief, sit in my loss. So I felt like I needed to let myself do that, and I didn't want to get stuck there. I knew I had to move on, but I definitely let myself have that time that I needed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in the midst of that, hope.
Yeah.
How do we reconcile hope? Because there are people that are listening and watching, and they're like, it's so heavy of grief and sadness and loss. But we are women of hope. We live in this duality and hard place of like death and hope and loss and hope, and grief, and joy? Is that possible? Let's speak into that, because I love to sit in this feeling, but I also know that there is both and. Mm-hmm. So how do we hope in the midst of this? How do we find joy in the midst of this?
Yeah. I always go to Ecclesiastes 4. That just talks about the different seasons in our life, and they're so opposing, right? They're so opposing. There's mourning, there's dancing, there, you know, these opposites. And I feel like God just calls us to live in the middle of that and to manage that tension. And I call it the glorious mess of life, because we can't expect that every day is just going to be beautiful, full of sunshine. That's not realistic. But we can't live in the sadness and the grief and everything that we face either, because how would we ever get up for another day? So I just feel like I meet Jesus in the middle of all that.
What's it called?
The glorious mess of life.
The glorious mess
of life. Yes, joy and grief and all the things combined. You know, my mom passed away. 2 weeks later, my first little grandson was born. Wow. So like that was joy and grief just like together. And so I've just tried to like embrace those spaces. Yeah.
There's so much I could get into, but it's so complex. It's a big question. But one thing that I'd love to share is the few days before my dad died, his eyes were closed. And he was with us, but not really with us. And we didn't know it was the last evening of his life. I was there with my mom at his bedside. And I just sort of, I felt led to pray for him. My mom was sitting there. I went over and I held his hand and started to just pray. And also just bless him and just sort of bless him and thank him for being my dad, our dad, my mom's husband, you know, all these things. Trying to think of anything too that he might be holding on to if he was like, you know, we just want to say we're taking care of mom, we're doing all these things. And and so I said kind of half out loud to myself, I wonder what he sees right now. And I said, Dad, do you see Jesus right now? Because his eyes have been closed for 3 days. I said, do you see Jesus? As soon as I said that, his eyes opened as wide as saucers for the first time in 3 days. He wasn't looking at me. He wasn't looking at my mom. He was looking at something above and over our heads. And he was in awe. It was something beautiful and mesmerizing. And we were like, it was this holy moment where we're shaking. And I said, Dad, I think you might be seeing Jesus right now. If you're seeing Jesus or something like an angel's, I don't know, like if that's what you're seeing, like it's, you should go. Like go to Jesus. And he went,
oh,
and he was gone.
Wow.
So it's the hope that we have, whether that spectacular moment or not, the hope we have in Christ, that these frail bodies are not the end.
So beautiful.
Shelley, Sinead, and Joanna, thank you. There's so much. Such a tender show. It was beautiful. For more information on our shows and guests, events, and resources, go to seeherlove.com. And we'd love for you to join our community. And if you are in the middle of deep pain, we see you. And we hope our conversation will encourage and inspire you to be thankful, to look for joy in what often feels like a helpless journey. And through your long goodbye, always know this: that you are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.